Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
The scripture reading comes from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, the 19th through the 31st verses. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks on his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May we pray. Breathe upon us, O Lord, so that our life may be that fresh breath that people today are seeking to inhale in order that their lives may exhale and bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the book of John, this story is on Easter Sunday. They don't know it's Easter. Like Umkor, a disaster has happened and they are seeing the stars, but they are needing a light amongst them. Amen. Here they are for fear of the Jews. They have locked themselves behind a door and they are excluding themselves from going out there and being amongst the living. So they are sort of among the dead, they think, or at least they think they might die as a result of their leader being put to death. Here they are behind a locked door, but you know, you can't lock Jesus out. You can try and lock him out. You may think you've locked him out, but regardless wherever you are, Jesus is there. You know, some people say, "Well, you've made your bed, you have to lay in it." Well, that's true, isn't it? But you know something? Not only do you have to lay in it, but Jesus lays in it with you. Did you hear that? Some of us won't get in the bed that people have made. They make people lay in it with them, right? You lay in the bed, you made it, you lay in it, right? But Jesus says, "Scoot over. Scoot over. I'll be in there with you. Because if anybody's going to help you get up, it's going to be me. I'll lay with you and I'll help you get out of wherever you may be." So regardless where we may be, we may think that Jesus is on the other side, but he is amongst us today. He's with us today, closer than our breath. You and I may think he's out here, but brothers and sisters, Jesus is not out here. He's right here. Right here, wherever you and I may be. When Jesus comes to the disciples, he says one of three things. He says it three times. Here he says it once. Peace be unto you. Today you and I may need to hear those words. Peace be unto you. You and I may be looking for peace out here. Brothers and sisters, there's no peace out here. There's no peace. There's only one place where peace is. It's peace in here. When I was in the hospital, I grabbed a hold of a doctor's arm and wouldn't let him go. I was on a vent and I said to him, am I going to live or die? Well, you know doctors don't answer that question. They don't know if you're going to live or die. And there was a nurse who was standing there with him, looked at him like, okay, what are you going to say to him? And he looked at me and he said, son, if you don't let go of my arm, I can't take that vent out of your throat. I took that to mean I'm going to live. Brothers and sisters, you and I may need to be encouraged today to hold on to the Lord. Don't let him go. Oh, I know he won't let you and me go, but you and I don't need to let him go. We need to grab a hold and hold on to the one who's the great physician. He's the one who has the words of life. Who else can we go to? There is none other to go to. There's only one. His name is Jesus. Yet here we have some disciples who, in fear of the Jews, have excluded themselves and have hid behind the door because of fear. Fear. Well, when Jesus comes to them, there is someone there, we discover, who isn't there. And we find out that the one who isn't there is who? Thomas. Every year at this time, we hear about Thomas. I wonder where he was. He's not behind locked doors. He's not hiding. Where's he at? Maybe he's out there walking the streets. Maybe he's out there looking for the disciples. How come he's not hiding? Is he afraid? You know, the good thing about Thomas is he is sort of a realist. For when Jesus said he was going to Jerusalem to die, Thomas said, well, we might as well go with him. Thomas was the one who asked Jesus questions. We don't know where you're going, Jesus. Where are you going? Thomas is the one who's not afraid to ask questions, and he's not afraid to doubt. He's not afraid to say, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good answer sometimes, you know it? Sometimes you and I need to hear someone say, I don't know. Someone said it's better to ask the right question than to believe the wrong answer. I don't know. Sometimes we don't know, but sometimes we know. Sometimes we know what we don't know. Yes? No? Yes? No? This is yes. This is no. I get that from David Autry. He does that a lot in Bible study, don't he, Bob? Sometimes we know what we don't know. So here Jesus comes. Thomas isn't with him. But where is he? Whenever Thomas shows up, they say to him, we have seen the Lord. Well, they get to experience a little bit of their own kind of doings when the women came to him and said, we have seen the Lord. And you know, they looked at him and said, you know, what have you been drinking? You know, you've been drinking that sacramental wine a little bit too early. Well, you see, they got to experience unbelief. What people said to them, say what? You saw a dead man? And of course, it makes me wonder if they thought, oh my gosh, this is what we said to the women who came to us. So this is what it feels like. And they said, we have seen him. And then Thomas makes his say, unless I can put my hands in his hands and in his side, I will not believe. Isn't it interesting, brothers and sisters, that our resurrected Lord still has the nail prints? Still has the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. Still has the sword print in his side. They are not gone. In eternity, they still exist. I'm told that in Augusta, Georgia, there was a church who created an exalted Jesus. They had him in white. They had gold chains around his neck. They had a crown on his head. And when he was suspended up, his hands were out. His feet were together. And guess what? There were no wounds in his hands and in his feet. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of religions There's a lot of philosophies who will teach you and me how to escape the sufferings of this world. And they are very attractive. They will encourage you and me that we don't have to participate in the sufferings of this world. That we can zone out. That we don't have to have anything to do with the sufferings in this world. And then you come to church. And then you come to church. And you hear about the resurrected Christ who still has the nails in his hands and in his feet and the sword, and who says, listen, you don't escape the suffering, you get in the midst of it. That's how Jesus identifies with you and me. The suffering on the cross in John's gospel is what makes Jesus human. It's what makes him human. His suffering, because he identifies with you and me. So Jesus comes after a week. After a week, he comes to the disciples and he shows himself. One of the things that I recall in a church that I served, I believe it's over in Livonia's vestibule. Have you ever seen the painting of Jesus knocking at the door? Have you ever seen that painting? If you've ever seen that painting, look at it and study it. You probably already know what I'm getting ready to say. Jesus is knocking at the door, and if you look at that door that he's knocking at, and you look at it very well, you will see that there's something missing on the outside. A doorknob. There is no doorknob on the outside. The doorknob is on the inside. So if Jesus is knocking on the heart of yours and mine, guess who gets to open it, who leaves it shut? You and me. Jesus says, I stand and knock on the door. And of course, do you know what that means? I stand knocking on the door. It doesn't mean this. Is that what you do when you knock on the door? See, that's not what it means. Are you ready? This is what it means. Prepare yourself. I don't want to scare you. All right? You ready? I stand knocking at the door. This is what it means. Ouch. Do you see the difference between to that? In other words, I knock at your door in order for you to hear it. You will know that I'm there. And you have the opportunity whether to open or not to open. It is mine and your choice. Thomas, when he sees Jesus, it doesn't say that he put his fingers in the wounds. Thomas thinks that he needs all of these things to believe. But some say he didn't need all of those things. He thought he did, but he doesn't. And he makes the confession. It's the most important confession in John's gospel. My Lord, and not only that, brothers and sisters, but also my God. Jesus is not only his Lord who tells him what to do and where to go, but he's also God who comes among him. Notice something else that happens in this story. It happens on Easter day, that evening. Jesus comes in and says to them, peace be unto you, says it three times to them, and then breathes upon them, breathes into them. And what does he breathe into them? The Holy Spirit. For brothers and sisters, it takes more than just the presence of the Lord to give us courage and hope. It takes that living presence to be inside of us, living with us, abiding with us day in and day out to give us the courage to go out and to live a life that Christians are called to live. Believe. I ask you today, do you believe? Of course, we're between these four walls, aren't we? If I ask you today if you believe, you would be able to say unequivocally, be what? Sure. Yes. But let something happen. Let something happen that would call us to question God. And I wonder if we are so easily to believe. Dr. Scoggins said something a week or so ago after the passing of his father. And it just hits the nail on the head. Dr. Scoggins, after saying that his father had passed on, said this: God is still God. Brothers and sisters, that's it in a nutshell. Regardless what happens to me, regardless what happens to you, regardless what happens to our loved ones, God is still God. In Him we can always trust. We can always believe. Regardless what happens out here, that doesn't negate, that doesn't overpower the one who says, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Do you believe that? Amen?
Amen.
May we pray. Almighty God, it is our desire this day that you would breathe upon us. That Holy Spirit that is alive and well is present and abiding in us and us in it. Give us the courage, O Lord, wherever we may be, if we have locked out you in our life or if we think we have, to know that you are present among us. Help us get back in that faith life if we have escaped it some way. If we think that we have closed you out, may we know, O Lord, that you don't give up that easily. Give us the strength. Give us the courage to hear your words, peace be unto you, and to go out that door, who is the same door you came in, and that is yourself. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.